Bring the Environment and Natural Resources Committee to order. Do we have minutes that we have to move? Who'd like to move the minutes? All in favor of that motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion prevails. And then, yes, Representative Poppy. Okay, members, I will move, Representative Cox will move Senate File 1298, bring before the committee, and be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Is that correct, Representative?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, that's correct.
And Representative Cox, to get the bill in the shape that you'd like, you would move the DE7 amendment. And I would recommend, Representative Cox, on page 5, you incorporate this in your amendment. On line 23, scratching 2.75 and inserting 2.25. That's halfway in between what some folks are telling me, 1.73 and 2.75. It'd be a compromise halfway in between. Would you incorporate that in your amendment?
Mr. Chair, I will incorporate that.
So, Representative Cox moves the DE7 amendment, incorporating the 2.25. All in favor of that motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Representative Cox, to your bill.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, just to give you a little bit of history, I'm not going to go back starting 4 years ago when I started working on this, but that's pretty much when it started. We really need to just focus on last year. We had a proposal coming forward last year that came very close to getting passed. In fact, the Senate passed a language that was, I consider, pretty good. We had some concerns over on the House side, and we created a solid waste task force to look at this and see if there was some way we could get manufacturers and counties and consumers all on the same page in an agreement. Not sure we can ever really do that, but that was the task force charge. The members that were on the task force were Senators Higgins, Bach, Fredrickson, McGinn, and Kubley. And the representatives were Representative Osment, Hackforth, myself, Thiessen, and Lagunias. And we met several times over the summer, beginning into the fall, and worked on language. And the proposal that came out of the task force is the language on the DE7 amendment starting at the top of page 6. And that's what we kind of came out of the task force with. It's a plan that really essentially sets out a recycling plan that the manufacturers would operate, and I think that there was a lot of interest in that. There was also a fair amount of controversy in it, and we didn't ignore that. Some people, I think we did, but we did listen to that, and as a result of that, the manufacturers came forward with a plan right towards the end of the task force meetings of the last few that we had, and I kind of referred to it as a trust us plan. It was really pretty simple. It just said they're going to recycle electronic waste in Minnesota and do the best job they can at it and so forth. And while I appreciate that approach, and you know, who knows, maybe if everybody was on board and it would work, we didn't want to ignore that. So what you have before you in the DE7 amendment, the first page, the first 5 pages are the pretty much the manufacturer's plan that they have presented, with one provision, and that is at the bottom of page 5, we created in section 2, under evaluation and so forth, that's a trigger. We've kind of referred to that as a trigger. And Chairman Hackforth just amended that, the pounds per capita that the manufacturers would be required to recycle. We changed that a wee bit, but that's their trigger event. And it's now in the amendment before us, it's at 2.25. So I'm estimating that would be probably, and maybe Mr. Eliff could help a little bit, but I'm guessing 2.25 would be in the neighborhood of 11 or 12 million pounds?
11 and a quarter.
Okay. So we've got about 11.25 million pounds that the manufacturers would be recycling. And if they don't meet this trigger event of that amount, or the provisions are not met in 3/4 of our counties, so we want to make sure the counties are all being served within reason and this isn't just all being collected in the metro area. If that doesn't happen, then this manufacturer's plan gets set aside and the task force plan kicks in gear. And that would happen in 2009. So it's a little bit of a strange marriage between the manufacturer's plan that is essentially saying we'll do the best job we can and we'll try to collect the fall waste we can and we don't want to have to be overburdened, and the task force plan, which is very prescriptive and sets out all sorts of measurements and devices within the language about how this would all be done.
Yeah, I got one.
So we've got that task force language as a fallback position if the manufacturer's plan that is listed in the first part of the E7 amendment doesn't work. And that's kind of it in a nutshell. I'd be happy to go over any parts of either one.
Representative Horman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Cox, I wasn't on the solid waste task force, and so I didn't get from what you said what we're actually doing here. And so, and I can't read this bill that fast, so I'm wondering if you can kind of try to wipe out of your mind all the insider knowledge that you have and just go through it really basically what this DE7 would do.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hortman, good point. I'll try to do it fairly quickly. Let's start on page 6. At the top of page 6 is the task force bill. That's the one that I'm most familiar with. I may ask somebody from manufacturers to come down and help me on the manufacturer's one. But the task force bill under section 1, we've created a whole series of definitions. As you can see there, I think there's a couple things that are important to look at. Subdivisions 2, 5, and 6 go over the cathode ray tubes, computer monitors, and so forth. And subdivision 7 there creates the covered electronic devices. That's a larger listing than just cathode ray tubes and computer monitors that are going to be banned now, folks, in July from landfills. This definition, the task force expanded it. And I'm not going to hide that from you. You can read it right there. We've got covered electronic devices means computers, peripherals, fax machines, scanners, DVD players, video cassettes, and those things. Household. So that's, we've got devices that are a little different. Section 2 has got the registration program. And that outlines that the under subdivision 1, that the manufacturers have to permanently label their products. They're going to have to register with the state of Minnesota. And then the retailers are then charged with ensuring that the products that they're selling from the manufacturers, the products the retailers are selling, are in fact registered. And the state's going to run a website on that. So that it's fairly easy just to double check. And if you're buying products to sell, you know, go on there and make sure that the manufacturer's registered. Under subdivision 2 of section 2, then the manufacturer's registration, they are required to give a list of all brands offered for sale in the state. So now they're tracking it by brands. They're to provide the contact information so we know how to get a hold of these people. And they're to certify that manufacturers will continue to apply with these provisions. And then the state will review the info and notify the manufacturers if they're deficient in something. So if they've got, you know, wrong phone numbers, or if they've got things that aren't working, they're going to try to let them know if there's any incomplete information, and they're going to maintain all that on their website too. Mm-hmm. Subdivision 3 has got collectors registration, so if you've got people that are collecting this material, and that's much more simpler. We just need to know who you are, contact information, how to get a hold of you, and that they need to state that they're going to comply with provisions of the bill. And subdivision 4, same deal for recyclers. If you're a recycler, we want to know who you are, contact information, and that you're going to comply with provisions. Then in section 3, the manufacturer's registration fee, we had a lot of discussion about that, but essentially there's going to be an account created by the Revenue Department, or in the Revenue Department, and the initial fee is at $5,000 for the manufacturers. In the subsequent years, the fee will be set per the formula that's spelled out in there. And the initial recycling cost per pound we've set out in the bill is at 50 cents a pound. And the credits, they would create recycling credits. And if you recycle more than you sell, you'd end up with credits, and you can sell them. You can carry them over. You know, just like money for a while, they'll expire after a while, but they felt that was important because you may actually get manufacturers that are running aggressive programs, and they may end up recycling more than they're selling. And so this is an effort to allow them to take credit for their good deeds. And then we've also got a provision in there to address a concern that if you are selling fewer than 1,000 units, if you're a manufacturer that has a kind of a specific product and you're selling fewer than 1,000 of them, then they have a flat fee of $2,500 a year on that. So the fee reduces for them. And then in Section 4, the reporting requirements, the manufacturer has to tell the state the number of devices that are sold to households the previous year, because it's all information that we need from the previous year, the total number of covered electronic devices collected and recycled, again in the previous year, and the number of recycling credits sold. If they ended up with credits in their account, did they sell them to someone? And we've also got the number of recycling credits that they still possess. So we're tracking that information. And then subdivision 2, recycler credits, what we're asking them to tell us is the number of devices recycled the previous year. So again, we're tracking them to find out where it's going. And then subdivision 3, collector's requirements, the covered electronic devices collected, and the list of recyclers who they sent them to. So that's fairly thorough that way. And then in Section 5, under responsibilities, the manufacturer has to arrange for the collection and recycling of the covered electronic devices equal to the weight of the devices sold the preceding year. Remember, that's the crux of this bill right there. That's the big one. That essentially says, as Representative Osmonds has presented as chair of the task force, you sell one, you recycle one. So that's what they're trying to get to. So that's the important part of here. And that the manufacturer is also going to use their best efforts to see that the recycler's contracts comply with the provisions in the bill. Then under responsibility for recyclers, they have to comply with the health, environment, safety, financial regulations that are in the bill. We do have a provision in here that we not get involved with prison labor. And they have a threshold of $1 million liability insurance for dealing with this material. And then under responsibilities of the retailer, they would be responsible for reporting the number of devices labeled with the manufacturer's label that was sold the previous year in a consumer-related basis. So they're tracking their sales and they're reporting that. The recyclers are telling us how many they're recycling. And so there's kind of a chain of custody that's being developed in this one. And then the PCA duties, receive and maintain the registrations. And they're also going to be charged with annually calculating the estimated sales of devices sold to households based on national data and provided data to the revenue department. And what that's for is if a manufacturer, for whatever reason, decides not to provide this information, they're sensitive to providing this sales information and so forth, we wanted to have a provision in the bill, in the task force bill, where the national sales could be used to generate shares and so forth and basis us on that. And we're doing this in the revenue department in an effort to kind of calm the manufacturer's fears of having this data flow out. Representative Bill, I know you pay taxes. I don't know how much your income is, and I don't know what your taxes paid, and you probably know that I do the same, and that's because the Revenue Department does a good job of keeping that information for themselves. And if we give them this information, the manufacturers need to be assured it's going to be held tightly, and the Revenue Department will do that. Then the Revenue Department would also do some checks to see that information submitted and calculated and calculate the registration fee, that they're the ones that would be asked to do that in a confidential manner. And then the last one in the task force bill has got just that it's non-exclusive, and private programs under Section 7 there would be allowed to continue if their things are working on a private basis, well, hopefully they would continue to be able to do that. So that's kind of a quick run through of the task force bill, and I'd take questions on that.
Representative Hartman? Excuse me, Representative Hartman.
Hi.
Members, there's a number of people that are signing up that are going to have questions. We have a number of people in the audience that are going to want to testify also. And maybe through some of the testimony that we're going to receive, that might answer some of the questions that we're going to have. So I'd really like to take some testimony before we get into questions. But I called on you earlier, Representative Hartman, so if you'd like to continue with your line of questioning, and then we'll go to
testify. Okay, I'll finish up quickly. I just have two questions. What is the package going to say? Well, okay, I have three questions. What is the package going to say, and where am I as a consumer going to bring these things I need to recycle? Am I going to have to pay somebody something when I drop it off? And is there any penalty if the manufacturers don't do the recycling?
Representative Cox.
Representative Hartman and Mr. Chairman, first of all, on the penalty, yes. If you look, see if I can find it here. We've got
Representative Cox.
Yes.
Representative Hartman, are you talking about the manufacturer's portion or the task force language after that might kick in? Which part are you talking about, or both?
I have no idea. If I were a manufacturer and I were selling these products in Minnesota and I didn't do what the statute asked me to do, what penalties would I face?
Okay, maybe we should bring down somebody from the manufacturers that put this language together, and maybe they can speak to that portion of the bill. That's why I'd kind of like to take some testimony before we get into some questions from the members. Anybody from the manufacturers like to speak to this issue or speak to your bill, your portion of the bill? Welcome to the committee. Please state your name and we represent for the record.
My name is Lloyd Grooms. I'm an attorney at Winthrop & Weinstein representing the Electronic Manufacturers Coalition, a group of 15 manufacturers who have participated in the drafting of the manufacturer's portion, as well as worked with Representative Cox and others in the on the task force. The penalty provisions on the manufacturers, if a manufacturer, and there's a number of steps, and maybe I'll just do it very generally, from what happens on the manufacturer's proposal. And I'll try to mesh it with what Representative Cox has already said. And in short, what happens is manufacturers have to register. They pay a $5,000 fee at that time. They subsequently submit a plan as to how they intend to recycle products. Annually, they will submit a report as to what products they actually collected and recycled. Subsequently, and 2 years out, the MPCA would submit a report back to the legislature explaining the process, who's actually registered, who's actually implemented their plans, the successes and failures of the plans, their own recommendations. There are a set of penalty provisions, and I'm trying to find them in the language, that civil penalty provisions on page 4 of the DE-7, thank you, Representative, which you'll see there's a set of penalties, both civil liability penalties and basically administrative penalties under 116.072 on a per violation basis, as well as other civil penalties. First violation, $15,000, second and subsequent, $25,000 if they fail to perform the required steps.
Representative Ogenius, to this, okay, sure.
Yes, Mr. Grooms is here. I need some help here. I did serve on the task force and supported the conclusions of the task force, which began on page 6. And it was my understanding during the task force process that a number of manufacturers actually did support the task force. So I would like to know from you which manufacturers support the first the new proposal from manufacturers, because we're throwing the word manufacturers around, and I don't know who's on first right here. So if you could tell me which manufacturers are supporting the first 5 pages that you designed.
Mr. Chair, Representative Wagenius. The groups that I represent, the Electronic Manufacturer Coalition, which is, as I said, 15 manufacturers, HP, And also included within our coalition is IBM. All of those manufacturers support the first 5 pages. I don't know of a manufacturer who does not.
So this is a recommendation coming from Hewlett-Packard and IBM.
And other manufacturers as well.
And other manufacturers.
Including television manufacturers. I mean,
because there were certainly folks who were manufacturers who were supporting the task force as it went through the process and was agreed to by the task force.
Mr. Chair, Representative Wagenius, I think throughout the process, all the manufacturers, all those individuals or companies that I've just made, have tried to work together in terms of the language that you see before you. I think it was through the work of the task force that the manufacturers actually came together with this alternative proposals. Throughout the task force, there were always slight variations, disagreements, difference of opinions, alternative approaches that were being suggested by even different manufacturers. First 5 pages you see here are where the manufacturers came together and agreed. And I think that's the latest position of the manufacturers.
And with the exception of IBM, are these manufacturers mainly located outside of Minnesota?
Mr. Chair, Representative Wagenius, yes.
I think that's an important thing for members to understand. Thank you.
Anything further from Mr. Broome? Representative Lane.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've got a couple of questions for on the manufacturer's part of the bill. Just for clarification, on page 10, lines 31 through 35, a couple of questions about the language there on those lines. It lists a number of counties, Anoka, all the way through on line 35, Washington, ending with Washington and Wright. Can you explain to me why these counties are exempt? Why it says except for these counties?
Mr. Chair, Representative Blaine, this is part of the task force recommendation, so I'll defer to Representative Cox to answer that question.
And Representative Cox.
Mr. Chair and Representative Blaine, the counties that are listed here are the ones that I believe were felt to be dense enough, population-wise, I guess. I think maybe Representative Osmond can help me out. I think that's what they're dense enough that they're going to have more waste coming out of it, and the farther ones out were the smaller counties, I think, wasn't that it?
Representative Osmond.
Mr. Chair and Representative Blaine, if you look, it says that this is referring to other counties other than those listed. Yep. Other than those listed are actually then at 1.3 times their actual weight. And what we're trying to do is provide more money to those counties in rural Minnesota for their transportation costs. That's the biggest reason. And so it's in that those that are listed here are actually at one time. You sell one, you recycle one, and you get credit for just that one. These, if you're outside of the ones that are listed, you get credit for 1.3, even though you only brought in one.
Okay, so Mr. Chair and Representative Osmond, and that was going to my second question on that section, which was the multiplier there at 1.3. So that 1.3 does not mean that we're putting more burden on the manufacturers there to recycle more. We're just increasing the reimbursement rate for counties other than those listed on the bottom of page 10, correct?
I believe there's additional cost to the overall handling of the recycling effort, so those dollars then would flow off where those costs are actually occurred. That's the intent, anyway.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Chair, if I could have one more question, and if we skip ahead to page 13, and I apologize to
page 13.
Page 13. Mr. Chair and members, it may be listed in here, but not being able to go through this whole thing this quick, but it says, I'm looking at Section 8, right in the middle of page 13, where it says agency and department duties, and it says on line 19, says, the agencies shall administer this chapter. I'm wondering which agency we're talking about.
Representative Osmond?
MPCA.
MPCA?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Further questions?
And Mr.
Representative Osmond.
Mr. Chair, I believe where it references department, it would be referencing the Department of Revenue.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Scalzi, did you have a question for
Yes, I did have
Mr.
a
Jones?
Question. And I'm not sure who it should go to, but I'm thinking that if the task force worked on this and now we have the first five pages are different, is there a fiscal note or is there a change in what the counties are going to have to incur because of this change? And I'm thinking of storage, because this has come upon us so quick, and I'm wondering if this, the words were said, if the bill doesn't work, then the task force plan would kick in 2009. So what happens to the counties that have had to store these articles until 2000, from 2006 to 2009? Who's going to pay those costs? And is there a fiscal note to explain what those costs are?
Mr. Chair, Representative Scalzi, if everything works right, there won't be a cost. And that's what this is all about. The manufacturer's plan, if they're picking up this material in a timely fashion and handling it properly, the plan would just continue to operate, and we wouldn't necessarily have costs that the counties or storage issues or any of that stuff. The question comes into place, as you've identified, if it breaks down, what are we going to have? And what we're going to have, first of all, I think there's going to be a little bit of a ramp-up time before this gets kicked into gear, no matter which plan you work with, for getting the word out to the citizens of the counties and so forth that they have a way to handle this, that there is in fact a ban, that some counties, as we've said earlier, I think 47 counties during the task force testimony, we learned that 47 counties have current plans right now where they're handling it, which means 40 don't. And I'm guessing it's probably more 40 of the sparser counties and so forth. If they don't service them, then we could have that issue come up, as you've identified. But if they do a good job, then this would just stay in place and the task force language wouldn't kick in.
I just have a follow-up. It's about the process. You're asking a lot of the committee to have had a task force work on this for quite some time, and then to replace six pages by the manufacturers who were represented at the task force meetings. Why didn't we go back to the task force with the manufacturer's recommendation rather than come to the committee and ask us to sort it out? We have not sat on that task force. Some of us have, but I haven't. And to get a 15-page dilute-all amendment at the day we're supposed to look at this task force recommendation is asking a lot of us. I know it is of me. It's very confusing and doesn't seem appropriate.
Mr. Chair and Representative Scalzi, I know exactly how you feel. I feel if it would be trying to accommodate some of the concerns of some very valid points, I think, from the manufacturers, we couldn't get to the point where we could get them comfortable in the task force bill. There's some provisions in that they do not like. I'm hoping that by having the task force language there, that will actually encourage them to operate the best manufacturer's plan that you can see, this language that's here, and that because they do not want to see the manufacturer or the task force language come forward. There's some reporting requirements, a whole bunch of things they really don't sign up with, and Mr. Grooms could probably tell you some of those things if you care. But I was willing to try to see if the manufacturer's plan would work. The only way we're going to find out is to go ahead and move forward with it and let them have a go of it. But I don't want to not have the task force language on there because I don't want to go through this again. You've been here for 4 years, Representative Osmond. You probably have done it before I was here, so I'm assuming that at least 4 years that we've been talking about electronic waste. And we could talk about it for another 4 years and keep moving our band back and so forth. I don't want to see that happen. So I was willing to try, as Chairman Hackbar said, willing to try to bring it forward with a manufacturer's plan, give them a short window. You can argue whether that's too long or too short, and then let them go. And if it doesn't, we already know what's going to happen. The task force language will go into effect.
That's all we
need.
Well,
thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Stolte, I think part of the answer to your question is on page 3 of the bill, where the manufacturer's plans, and I'm looking on line 3.19, 3.2, says that the manufacturers are to use the existing public and private infrastructure to the extent practicable, which means our counties are going to be doing the collecting. And I think your question about having a fiscal note on this bill is absolutely right on, and I think we have to have one before we get to Ways and Means or go to finance, because our local counties will be absorbing, while this is called the manufacturer's responsibility bill, the real responsibility falls on the counties, and they don't get reimbursed because there's only a $5,000 kick-in by each manufacturer, and that should be dispersed among all the counties with very little money, and we have no idea whether that money covers 5%, 10%, 40% of the cost. And with that in mind, Mr. Chairman, I am going to move just for the purposes, not for the purposes of the session, but so our session is clarified, that the first 5 pages of the this are deleted, and the task force be the one that we delete that, and the task force be the one that we keep, and with that one we put on the original date that the task force had for to change the background. So as we discuss this, we are not discussing two plans that are so totally different. Well, we are discussing two plans that are wholly different. One that has the county doing a lot of the work, not getting reimbursed, and the other having the manufacturers take the responsibility they said they were going to take. And I have to say, just as a matter of full disclosure, I was on the task force. The way this was set up was not my idea, but the more I thought about it, I thought that the folks, including Representative Osmond, came up with a pretty darn workable solution.
Representative Cox, so your amendment would be to delete the first 5 pages. Do you have something else about the dates, and where would that be?
The date would be that, and council would have to help us just reinstate the original task force effective date. Instead of kicking in 2 or 3 or 4 years in 2009, it would kick in when the task force had originally intended to kick again. I don't remember that date, but I think council could come up with that for us.
Mr. Eloff, do you have that amendment?
And the dates?
Just a moment to prepare it, Mr. Chair, please.
In the meantime, while you're preparing that, Mr. Jones, do you have a comment to that? I think you had something before Representative Wagenius made her motion.
Mr. Chair, I was just trying to respond to Representative Scalzi's comment, and Representative Wagenius is... I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Mr. Grimes.
It was just, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, is trying to clarify the language that Representative Wagenius did reference. It was the intent of the manufacturers. That was our way of trying to have language in there that we would be working, I think, as we've spoken through, even throughout the task force, in terms of trying to work with counties, and rather than simply starting to come up with, if you will, wholesale changes. Minnesota is very fortunate that it does have a fairly good infrastructure. To the extent possible, we would hope to be able to rely on that infrastructure working with counties. So it's a slight nuance, but it is a nuance that I wanted to point out.
Representative Virginia?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I
think we have a wonderful county system for recycling. It does not come free. And I think we, too, should rely on the county system. But I think the counties need to be reimbursed for this huge burden that the first five pages are put upon them. That's the only difference. I think we both agree that our counties do a good job.
Representative Cox.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to reiterate that was the concerns I heard from the manufacturers on this, is that we weren't wanting to see existing private enterprises excluded, and that we were also wanting to take advantage of and build on with public ones if the counties are operating certain things. As I said, 47 of them have things in place now, and I think the effort was to try to say they would continue to work with them and build on that.
Okay, Mr. Ewoff, do you have the amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Exactly what it would be.
Page 16, delete lines 25 and 26, and insert sections 1 to 11 are effective the day following final enactment. Also add to the revisor's instructions at the bottom of the page, renumber the sections in sequence.
Okay. And we'd be deleting the first five pages. That's the amendment. To the amendment, anybody of Representative Cox?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would oppose the amendment just from the standpoint that I think this is just going to open up what I'm going to call the e-waste wars again, and we're going to have one group of people scurrying around trying to take a bill down and another one saying that it'll work, whereas I think by leaving it in there, we're giving the manufacturers the chance to make something work at roughly... what do we have, 11 million pounds of waste recycled. We can change that number if that goes forward, and we think there are abilities to pick up more. We can change that in future years, but that we also have provisions if the manufacturers are not able to produce as they say they can, then we have the provisions in place. So I think this is this balance. I know it's may appear kind of goofy having these two things going forward, but I don't think we can do it. We can get support with separating them right now.
Representative McGinnis.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We do not stand alone. We stand with the Senate. And the Senate bill doesn't resemble the first five pages. So I think we have problems when we are less definitive rather than more definitive, because we have... We have three balls up in the air instead of a Senate bill and a House bill. We have three balls up in the air. Mm-hmm. I think we have gone toward muck rather than toward problem solving. And I hope some of the folks get an opportunity to testify before we vote, but that's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chairman, I was just going to make the same suggestion. I'd like to have some public input on these so I can decide as to what's in best interest.
Absolutely.
Committee.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is on the amendment. I had a question on page 2. This would be both for Representative Cox and the witness. 2.32, 2.33, 2.34. Just to clarify something that Representative Wagenius has had. The $5,000 fee per manufacturer, is that $5,000 per manufacturer, or is it $5,000 per device or per product? I just some clarification on that.
Mr. Chair, that would be $5,000 per manufacturer.
Okay. Testimony on the amendment. Anyone would like to speak? Mr. Grooms, do you have any further comments? Okay. Anybody that would like to speak to the amendment? To the amendment. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name and who you represent for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Ramsey County Commissioner Victoria Reinhart. I'm chair of the Association of Minnesota Counties Environment and Natural Resources Committee and a member of the Solid Waste Management Coordinating Board. And I just wanted to comment that what the organizations, the counties that I represent, really want to see is a comprehensive bill passed, and that we really appreciate the task force work that went into this and believe that it is a comprehensive bill that will work.
As far as looking at some of the issues that we have, I think it's important to keep in mind, obviously, that it does cost money at the county level when these products are taken in, and we really do feel that the trustless plan is one that is makes us very nervous from a property taxpayer point of view. And I think the other two things that are really important to keep in mind here is that the ban is less than 2 months away, and digital TVs are to be phased in by February of 2009. These are going to be a huge burden on county government if, in fact, the manufacturers are not held to task here to take responsibility for these. And we do feel that there are a number of things in the counterproposal that if, depending on what happens with this amendment, we would come back up and testify if need be. And I'd be open to any questions.
Questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to testify for or against the amendment? Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and tell us who you work for.
Good morning. My name is John Steiner. I'm the president of the Solid Waste Association in Minnesota and the Solid Waste Administrator for Polk County in northwestern Minnesota. I guess from what I've heard, there are some concerns with the manufacturer, the trustless portion of the bill, related to a number of things, funding being one of them. The bill calls for a registration fee of $5,000 per manufacturer. The last number I heard thrown out was roughly 80 manufacturers, which would give you about $400,000 brought in. Depending on how you divide that out, I assume there's some sort of formula. I know in one portion of it references a grant that counties can apply for that money to pay for e-waste collection, transportation, recycling. I don't feel that that's even close to adequate for what we would be facing in terms of volume coming in and cost. The language also references a off the top of my head, I've seen enough of these now that they kind of run together. But basically, it calls for the use of existing public infrastructure. And so you're encouraging the manufacturers in this case to use existing public infrastructure, but yet there's also provision in there that they have to provide service. And I believe it's 66% of the counties, and there's a lower per capita weight to collect. So in essence, you're asking all counties, because it's a statewide ban going to affect all counties with infrastructure, to collect this with no assurance that they're going to have that volume taken off of their hands. And they have to wait until, I believe the date was 2009, in order for this, you know, this rollover, if there is an issue, to kick in that task force language. And so you're saying on costs and a large volume in some cases for a couple of years before you can get rid of that waste. And just going through my list of things real quick here, we got the language when we walked in.
So Mr. Steiner, you're saying that this is if the manufacturers don't do anything.
Well,
you're assuming they're not going to do anything.
I'm assuming there's a possibility of being there's a threshold that only 66% of counties are required to be serviced.
I think, Mr. Steiner, that the manufacturers are going to face the page 6 on is going to kick in if they don't recycle. So I think there is a trigger here that says if you don't do what is in your proposal, you're going to be faced with the task force provisions, and they're saying they don't want to face that, so they're going to do what they have to do to recycle, so page 6 on doesn't kick in. I don't understand why people aren't seeing that.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. I think Representative Cox just informed me it's 75%, not 66% that I read. And as Representative Cox said, if everything goes correctly, and obviously the second half of the language is a provision because there is the likelihood that that doesn't happen. Otherwise, it wouldn't be necessary. The other thing is you are asking them to collect it, and there is going to be issues with startup. There is going to be costs incurred. There isn't a guarantee in here that all that waste is going to be picked up, whether it's 66% or 75%.
Okay.
Anything further?
Words are welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a question just to throw out a hypothetical just so I can understand what type of context we're dealing with here. So let's say the manufacturers come up with some sort of plan where they're working with the county. The county collects the waste at the curbside, because if we're saying that you could coordinate a recycling program, I'm thinking this is possible under this bill, that the manufacturer can enter into contract with the county picks it up at curbside, and the manufacturer can then record that, the amount of waste that was picked up, and they could obtain the credits for that under this program. Am I under a correct assumption, or am I wrong? Could you please tell me what your answer to that question would be?
Does that have to be a reference of Cox, or?
No, it would be to the
testifier. Mr. Steiner?
Mr. Steiner.
Mr. Steiner.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Representative Welty. It is possible that they could enter into contract with the county. One of the things that we had stressed was it would be a voluntary system. That this wasn't a mandate that counties had to provide the service. We have some counties in the state of Minnesota that have no infrastructure. So therefore, to try and contract, there wouldn't be an entity there to contract with. The other thing is that there may be some that just don't want to go down that road, or they have a private party that's doing this. We have so many different systems out there, it's really hard to say yes, that's going to happen, no, it's not. That is one of the things we have pushed for as an association, is to make sure that there is that flexibility there, because there is a number of different ways to accomplish that goal, but make sure that it was voluntary so that we're not forcing counties to do this.
Representative Welty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just one follow-up to this. So if I'm understanding this right and kind of understanding the context of this bill, is there something in here that would state that the counties don't have to take any items whatsoever, so it would actually be the manufacturer's responsibility to work with the counties to come up with some way to make this collection take place? Do you know what I'm saying? So that you can't have, what happens is the counties don't end up with all of this dumped on them. Is there anything in this bill that prevents that from happening?
Representative Welty, I don't think there's anything in the bill that says counties have to operate systems at all. The provisions we've talked about earlier is a ban on landfills, so that the counties are aware of that, and I know they all are. But no, there's nothing that would say they have to enter into any kind of an agreement with them. There's also no provisions in here that would prevent private people operating the plan in a separate county or several counties or whatever they want to do entirely, and just entering into the manufacturers just going out and handling it with private people. No, we don't require a county.
Okay, thank you.
Any further, Mr. Spiner? Thank you for your testimony.
Thank
anyone
you.
Else that would like to speak on the amendment? Please come forward. On the Wegenius Amendment. Thank you. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name and who you represent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Trudy Richter. I'm here on behalf of the Solid Waste Management Coordinating Board, which represents the six metropolitan counties in solid waste issues, including electronic waste. One of the reasons we're very supportive of the task force portion of this proposed action today is partly due to the scope of products. You'll note that in the first five pages, the product scope is video display devices. It does not include CPUs and peripherals, which are included in the remaining portion of the bill, and that the task force felt was necessary to be covered. If you understand how your behavior, as well as many households, if they're turning in a computer for recycling, they're going to bring more than just the monitor to the recycling center. They need to get rid of the tower, the mice, and the peripherals, and we need the scope to be broader. That's one of the reasons we support the task force only bill. In addition, we wanted to point out that through state collected information, there are 49 counties already doing electronic recycling of 12 million pounds a year. And with the 2.25 pounds is put in this first portion of the bill, only totaling a little over $11 million, I mean, it's less than what is currently out there that the public's working very hard to recycle. I was also asked to add the Association of Minnesota Counties, AMC, has adopted the position that we need to have as a minimum at least 18 million pounds collected each year. Thank you very much.
But, Ms. Richter, I should also say that this doesn't prevent them from collecting more than 11 million pounds.
That's correct.
Representative Wagenius.
Thank you, Ms. Richter. I hadn't understood about the poundage, so would you just say that part of your testimony again so I get it in my head?
Richter.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wagenius, there are 49 counties already doing electronic recycling, and the latest data the state has gathered in the last year, those counties collected over 12 million pounds.
Which means, in terms of this bill?
In terms of the first five pages of the bill, when you change the obligation to 2.25 pounds times 5 million, I think it was determined it was 11,250,000 pounds. Is my math right? Yeah.
So from your testimony, the first five pages now become meaningless. Because they don't have to do anything more than is being done right now. Am I understanding that correctly?
Well, Representative Wagenius, the manufacturers aren't involved right now. Now they're going to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Chairman, I would go back and say, I would point out to you two lines that you want to concentrate on. On page 2, line 2.3 and 2.31, where it says a manufacturer has the sole discretion to determine the scope, terms, and conditions of such a program. So we are not demanding anything of them. They are setting the limit. And the second, I would just reiterate, on page 3.2, that they are using existing public and private infrastructure to the extent practicable, given that they're already collecting the amount. It just seems like nothing's going to happen. Nothing needs to happen. Unless we move into the task force plan.
President Cox.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I do want to call your attention to page 3 on line 3.4. You have to remember now, starting on 3.3, that the manufacturers are going to have to file these plans with the PCA, the agency there, and they're going to have to describe the program for the collection, transportation, and recycling of the video display devices. They're collecting it. They're transporting it. They're recycling it. I don't think any of them really are aggressively doing that right now in the state. Absent, I realize they do parking lot programs and some of these other things. But, I mean, this is a full-blown program. They're going to have to do this. They're going to have to give something to the PCA, and the PCA is going to have to read it and believe that that's a plan that's going to work. And then they're dealing, as you read down the line, that the previous year's collections and so forth, so we've got some tiebacks in there. So I wouldn't be supporting the manufacturer's provisions in the first part of this bill if I didn't think they could actually work. Whether they do it or not remains to be seen. I mean, and as Representative Hackbar said, they have something they don't like that's going to happen to them if they don't do this.
They have a huge goal with the fact of not wanting that task force legislation to take place.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to do what they're saying they're going to do. Any further questions of Ms. Richter? Thank you very much for your testimony. Anyone else that would like to speak for or against the Wagenius Amendment, please come forward.
Representative Hackbarth, members of the committee, I'm Valerie Pace. I'm with the IBM Corporation in Rochester. And Judy Cook is here representing Hewlett-Packard. And also with our coalition is Apple Computer, who's represented in the room today, and 15 other manufacturers who do TVs and computers. That includes Toshiba, Sharp, Panasonic, JVC, Sony, a wide range of manufacturers, and we've worked together to come with a proposal and would not support the amendment as proposed because we believe for the first time in any state in the United States, all the manufacturers are together in a voluntary program building within the states a capacity to recycle electronic waste, the covered electronic devices you see, and we think it will be a very successful program. The idea of having a statewide goal is extremely important here because, as you've already heard, half of the counties have chosen not to participate in this process of handling e-waste. In Ramsey County, where I live, private recyclers do this work. If I call the county, I will be referred to a private recycler. So, and we also have retailers. Best Buy does events. Many others do. So what we would like to come together with is a collective view over the next 2 years of all the recycling occurring. As you know, Hennepin County is a star nationally for the work they do in this space. And understand all of the recycling efforts. The manufacturers will take responsibility to pay the fee. We will produce plans for the PCA, and we will report results against those plans. And we're willing to be accountable for that, and 2 years out, really look at those results, look at what's happening in other states, and understand performance. We believe that the numbers that are being used for targets here are very unrealistic. We sell far more product today than we sold in the past, so anything approaching a one-for-one relationship is not realistic. And we believe that we can, with the existing infrastructure and encouragement and support from the manufacturers, reach into all of Minnesota counties and work with the private recyclers to make this successful. The last item that I will state is that the effect and the power of the PCA to make this transparent to the public sector, to consumers, to all groups, by putting on their website the manufacturers, as well as others who are recycling and what's being collected, is a tremendous incentive to do this work. And we believe that by having the public procurement focus on only those manufacturers who are participating in this process is another huge economic incentive for all of the manufacturers to participate fully.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Judy Cook with Cook Hill Girard Associates. I'm representing Hewlett-Packard today. Appreciate the opportunity to provide comments on behalf of Hewlett-Packard. HP is a global technology solutions provider to consumers, businesses, and institutions, and they're also a leader in the recycling of electronic devices in the United States and globally, processing 3.5 million pounds per month at two North America facilities. Along with the other manufacturers, and again, I cannot stress enough, this is the first time anywhere in the country that the manufacturers have all come together and reached an agreement, and I think that that is important for the committee members to know. And what we've agreed on is that we are all going to work towards the recycling of e-waste in Minnesota, and we are going to work both individually, collectively, work with retailers, work with counties. We've made a commitment, and it's going to be the law. We can't sell our products in the state if it's not the law, and I think that is very, very significant, and I just really want to make sure that everybody understands that this is the first time anywhere in the country that the manufacturers have agreed. Interestingly, we all agree. I believe it's fair to say that we do not want to see the task force language implemented immediately, and we would oppose the amendment. The manufacturers have put a lot of effort into this, and while there are groups who may not think it's enough, what we have is something that we're committed to doing, and we appreciate the work with Representative Cox. I know this has not been very easy. I do want to provide some very brief comments about why we do not think the task force language should go into effect immediately. And as Representative Hackbarth indicated, because we have a number of issues with that language, it is a very strong incentive for the manufacturers to make sure that the manufacturer program works. And I will be brief. First of all, this will likely produce an unnecessarily large electronic waste account. If you compute it out at 50 cents per pound, which is in the bill. They're looking at probably a fee of $15 per computer monitor and $24.50 per television based on the average weight. That's a really steep fee. In California, that's enacted an advanced recovery fee, has $6 and $10 per device. And their program is well exceeding in the millions of what it costs to operate the recycling. And so I think that that's definitely an issue as you look at the variables in the bill. The other point about the variables in the task force language is that the manufacturers really don't have any control over any of those variables. I mean, we can establish the program, but it is really dependent on the consumers as to whether or not they are going to return the items. And consumer behavior is a very funny thing. I think everybody, it's fair to say, has items that they may have in their garage or their basement, and even if they have recycling available, don't necessarily return them until there's a life event or something. So I think it is important to remember that it is based on consumer activity, as well as sales is based on consumer activity that the manufacturers have no control over, and I think that is important. The terms in the formula have some serious practical implementation problems, and I think that some of the issues are that they are set in statute, and there really isn't an opportunity to have any change in them. For example, they can only be changed if we'll improve the efficiency or effectiveness of activities regulated by the program. So there's really no opportunity to take a look and determine whether or not they are the appropriate values. We're very concerned also about the enforcement in there. I mean, I could cite a number of different issues. I think the point is, though, that our concerns with that create an enormous incentive for us to do more than just have you trust us, but to actually go ahead and implement the manufacturer's approach. And so that's why we would oppose the amendment that would make that effective immediately. Thank you.
Thank you. Question? Representative Wagenius.
I just want to reiterate, this isn't a matter of not trusting the manufacturers or not. It's a matter of the huge public subsidy we're getting ready to give these big manufacturers. That is what concerns me. And the incentive, of course, as written in the first five pages, is for you, I mean, it says you get this huge subsidy, and of course you would come together. I could come together if I were one of you, too, and say, yes, let's go with these first five pages. But from our point of view, when we have to look at our property taxpayers in the eye, it makes it difficult to say, oh, yes, we'll put this on your property taxes. So I think you have to understand that it's not that we don't like our manufacturers, we don't trust our manufacturers, but it's what we have to do when we look at our constituents and say, can we get this big subsidy or not?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wagenius, I guess I don't see a subsidy in the bill. I see that the manufacturers are coming forward and actually at great expense going to be providing opportunities for the people of Minnesota to recycle. One thing I failed to mention that I should have is that Hewlett-Packard supports still the Senate bill to pass, supports a shared responsibility approach that is based on return share, and I think HB has been very responsible in that manner and continues to support that approach very strongly. I know the other manufacturers do not, but that is the position of Hewlett-Packard. And so I think what we're offering up is that we are going to come forward and expend a lot of resources to make sure that the people of Minnesota have opportunities to recycle in a shared responsibility fashion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Wagenius, I think what you're probably referring to is Hennepin County plan has significant costs for the transportation, collection, pickup of the waste on curbside. I don't know whether you would have that Hennepin County plan if you didn't have to get it out of your burner. And I think that I would not want my Rice County plan to operate curbside recycling in Lonsdale and Northfield and Dundas and other little towns we have. I don't think that would be cost effective at all. And I would like to know that there's a plan in place that we can take it, and there is, and Rice County is participating in this. where consumers can take it relatively easily and safely and conveniently dispose of it that way. But we'll see differing amounts, and whether you want to continue, Hennepin County would want to continue curbside collections and then turn it over, the stuff they collect, to the manufacturers. That remains to be seen, but I don't think we're going to have such a prescriptive method here that there's going to be one size that fits everybody.
Representative Portman. Good evening, ma'am.
I live in Hennepin County. I don't think we have curbside pickup. I don't know what
Minneapolis does.
Okay.
Sorry.
My question is, in the first five pages, if this is a manufacturer responsibility bill, how is the consumer supposed to figure out what they're going to do? I heard reference to an MPCA website, and as John and Jane Q. Public, I don't go to the MPCA website to try to figure out what to do with all this crap in my garage. I'd like it to say it on the product or the package or for there to be some publicity, but I don't understand how there being information on the MPCA website is going to lead people to know what to do with this stuff.
I want to take that, Representative Cox, and maybe you could explain how it would work with the task force plan also.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And that's a good point, because we had a lot of talk about that. One of the big challenges on either of these plans is going to be to get the consumers to know what they have to do. And I think that once we get over that hurdle, and it's out there through an advertising program, various promotional things, in the task force committee, we heard testimony from the East Central Minnesota folks that they ran a program. It ended up costing them a little bit of money that they ran, but they sold the product, and they got actually a surprisingly good response rate from, I can't even remember how they put it together, but they brought their little brochures and showed us all what it is. And that's what I also referred to. There's going to be a ramp-up time, because there is, no matter what plan you pick, there's going to be a ramp-up, so that the plans that are approved by the PCA and implemented, they are then going to have to get to the consumer. But again, using the manufacturer's one, they have this, what I will call a hammer hanging over their head. They're going to have to figure out a way to get that out to the consumers, to get this material so that they meet their goal. And if they don't want to have the task force plan implemented on them, they're going to have to continue to operate the manufacturer's plan in a responsible manner. Because if the testimony comes back from counties that the PCA calls and finds out how things are going, we find out they've got piles of stuff there and sheds full of junk and everything, that's not going to be working, and it's going to be coming apart, and then the task force plan will kick in. So they're going to have enough of an impetus, I think, to implement this. But we're not prescriptive again on how you get the word out. I can envision all sorts of different ways.
Representative Osmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm a little bit concerned about the amount, the number of pounds per capita that is already being collected versus what we have in the bill. And the, I believe what we have, the testimony earlier said that we're already collecting 18 million pounds or something like that. I want to know how that relates to the figure that we have in the bill, which is talking about the weight of just the video display devices, not all the electronics. Mr. Eliff, can you shed some light on those numbers so I can know whether I'm comparing apples to apples here? Because if it's 18 million pounds, we'd be at 3.6 pounds per capita versus the 2.25. So,
mm-hmm. My understanding is that the 2.25 refers only to video display devices, and it's based on the per capita amounts that Hennepin County is now recycling under its programs.
Mr. Chair, if we could get there was earlier testimony comparing that number, and I was wondering if I could get...
Well, Representative Osmond, should we see if the Wagenius Amendment prevails or not, and if it does not prevail, then we can talk about that issue.
Well, it triggers on whether I support Representative Wagenius's amendment or not, because if in fact we're already collecting 3.6 pounds per person, and we got a 2.25 pounds as a triggering mechanism for the task force, that's not much of a trigger. And so I'm trying to determine the validity of that 2.25, and if we could...
Representative Cox, do you have something on that?
Well, I was going to suggest, Chair, that Trudy Richter could come back. She's the one that talks about the 49 counties currently collecting 12 million pounds.
I'm
very close to that number, but what I'd like to know from her, if that's video display devices only, or if that's all electronic waste
that would
from
be
the
my
49
programs.
Ms. Richter? You want to clarify this for us?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to ask Garth Hickel to come up with the actual documentation of the poundage, please.
Ms. Richter, where did you get your information?
Garth, but okay. he has the tables, et cetera, that he can give you much more information than I just
okay.
did. Thank you.
Welcome to the panel. Please state your name and who you represent for the record.
I'm Garth Hickel with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I think Bob Eliff is correct in terms of that original 2.75, where that was determined. The agency is estimating that a per capita statewide number for televisions, computer monitors, video display devices would be about 2.84 for 2007. Regarding the amount of material that's collected now, the agency does a annual survey of counties. The counties report to us in terms of the amount of material that they're collecting. As of about a month ago, we had the majority of counties had reported about 12 million pounds of material that was currently being collected and recycled. A couple caveats on that is that that number did not include seven counties that had not reported, but it addressed the whole universe of e-waste. So that would be televisions, computer monitors, computer towers, printers, everything that would be coming back in the collection opportunities in Minnesota.
And Representative
Osmond. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Hippo, with regard to video display devices, do you have any projection as to what that is in pounds per capita currently?
Mr. Chair, Representative Osmond, that's really difficult to determine. We don't ask the counties to report by product type, based on Hennepin County's experience, the majority of material that is coming back is televisions and computer monitors by weight, as well as number of units.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I believe we have someone from Hennepin County who might be able to
okay.
put a little more light on this.
All right. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name and who you represent for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Phil Eckert, and I'm the Director of Environmental Services for Hennepin County. Just listening to the testimony in response to the question of Representative Osmond, we, in our program, have been monitoring or looking at our information relative to some of the nuances on this legislation. And of the electronic waste that we're collecting, 70% by weight conforms to the definition of video display devices in the bill before you.
Representative Osmond.
Okay, so based upon that, if we're currently collecting 12 million pounds, 70% of that you would expect to be video display devices?
That's correct.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Eckert. Members, the 2.75 and the 2.25 is a compromise that I've come up with. I mean, right now we've got a bill here that's got the manufacturer's language in it, it's got the task force language in it, and we could be offering right now just the manufacturer's language, we could be offering just the task force language. No one would be happy with that. We've got kind of a compromise right here, and I thought that if we put the 2.25 in there, we'd bring more people together. I think we make some of the manufacturers a little happier, a little more at ease. They're probably not real happy. I think they wanted 1.73 million or 1.73 in there, and so they're not real happy with me when I put 2.25 in there either. But this gets us as close as we've ever been to getting something done. I would be against the Wagenius Amendment, and I would hope that we could keep this bill together the way it is currently so we can move on and give the manufacturers an opportunity to face this and get this done and show us in the next 2 years that they can do this. Otherwise, the task force plan is going to kick in. I don't know why we have to be so punitive to the manufacturers when they're going to pay themselves to get the job done in this recycling. So I would oppose the Wagenius Amendment. Representative Portman, anything further? With that, on the Wagenius Amendment, everybody understands that deleting the first five pages and changing the dates. All in favor of that motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
No. Motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. Representative Cox to the bill. Anything further?
I don't think I have anything more to add right now unless there's the last question.
Representative Cox, you have the A2 amendment.
Yes.
Representative Cox, do you have that you can pass that off? Mr. Anderson, you want to come up your amendment? Representative Cox also incorporates it in his amendment when you get it. Are we passing that out there?
Who's that?
Everybody have it?
What is it, D3 or 6?
The A2 amendment.
A2. Is it laying there?
Representative Cox, you had a packet of them.
I know it.
What do you do with them?
Here we go.
A2 amendment. What's the missing amendment?
Okay.
Representative Cox, why don't you speak to your amendment while it's being passed out?
Members, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. This was brought up essentially to deal with small manufacturers or effectively retailers that are acting under some private labeling and so forth. And I think it's probably easiest if I ask Mr. Anderson to address the issue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, my name is Buzzy Anderson. I'm president of the Minnesota Retailers Association. The concern I've raised with Representative Cox is that retailers, although by definition the bill are considered manufacturers, they're not manufacturers as you normally think of them. I asked the OEA what percentage of e-waste was in the waste stream was actually brought into the waste stream by retailers who private label. And he said it's very, very, very small. So I think the intent here was to try to get at people who really manufacture and bring large amounts into the state. I'm not sure if this language still does it, but I guess our point is that manufacturers put very little in the waste stream, even though they do private label. They will agree to, and we have agreed under this bill, that we will register as manufacturers, we will pay the $5,000 fee, we will submit a plan, and we will report our goals, whether or not we've accomplished our goals. We're trying to make sure, and again, I'm not sure this language does it, we're trying to make sure that manufacturers who are also retailers are not really considered manufacturers for this section of the bill.
Okay, Representative Cox would incorporate in his amendment a change on line 2 to delete 6 and insert the number 7 to just a technical change to make it work with the bill. Representative
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Anderson, can you tell us who we're covering by this? Because I guess when you're describing this, it sounds to me like if it's truly a small manufacturer, we'd be doing under 3, and we're actually doing over 3. So help me understand who this is or who they are.
Mr. Anderson?
Mr. Chair, and Representative Keller, keep in mind that again, manufacturers are very, retailers who are also considered manufacturers under this bill are a very small part of the waste stream. Yes, they private label, so by definition of the bill, they become manufacturers. But if you look at the sort, if you look at what's actually in the waste stream, retailers have only recently been private labeling, so there's very little of their product in the waste stream. Take for example, Radio Shack, who has 50 stores or so in Minnesota. Very few of their products, even though they private label a lot of things, are actually considered e-waste by definition. So what we're trying to make sure is that they're not treated really as a manufacturer, but rather as a retailer. Again, I think this language doesn't quite get there, because some of these folks also manufacture their own product. And it actually is sold in their stores, but there's currently very little of any of it in the waste stream right now.
Representative Wagenius?
Thank you. Help us out. Who are you talking about? I think that might answer Representative.
Who are the companies, Mr.
What
Anderson?
Companies are you talking about?
Okay, and Mr. Chair, Representative Wagenius, let's talk about Target, Best Buy, Radio Shack, Sears, any number of manufacturers who's at Circuit City, anybody who's big enough actually to private label. But again, some of them do manufacture their own product again, so that's why I think this definition falls short. But the goal that we're trying to reach here, and we can work on some language, is to make sure they're not considered manufacturers for purposes of going out once a year to the counties. They still will submit plans. They will still pay the $5,000 registration fee. They will still do recycling events.
So what are we exempting them from?
Yeah. We're exempting them from the requirement to go to the counties once a year to, I think the language says that manufacturers are required to go to counties that are under 20,000 once a year at their beck and call to recycle products that are collected in those counties. We're just trying to make sure that retailers who now currently have recycling events are not included in that definition.
I understand. I just want to make it clear. Representative Cox.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm also not sure. I talked to Mr. Anderson about this, and I suspect a number of these products are going to be covered by a manufacturer who already is a covered manufacturer, a registered manufacturer in private labeling through the filing from the state. But Mr. Anderson's really trying to catch if there's a little group there that we may not cover. Because if you're private labeling and you've got a manufacturer that's a large manufacturer, let's say it's a Dell or Gateway, and they're private labeling for Radio Shack of something that turns out to be a video display device, that I believe that would be covered by the registration, and Mr. Leff could maybe address that. But that would be a retailer that's private labeled, and they really wouldn't be a manufacturer as long as it's a product that's already registered.
Okay, Mr. Anderson, and then we'll have Representative Westrom after that. Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Chair, thank you. We're also trying to make sure that the manufacturers who retail, but often through the Internet, are not exempted from this. Because as Representative Cox said, you have Dell and Gateway, who I don't think have retail locations anymore, but they still sell vast amounts of product into the state. So we want to make sure that they are required to meet the requirements of this section.
Okay. Representative Westrom.
Mr. Chair, I guess Mr. Anderson and Representative Cox, this, I think it's partway to an issue that I have, but tell me if it gets all the way there or if maybe they're not covered under this bill. I've got a small computer manufacturer in Alexandria, another one in Elba Lake. They both are small computer companies that offer support, but they also build computers for their clients based on their needs. Now, I don't think they even do 1,000 a year. Would they be exempt? And then it also gets to the fee issue, Representative Cox. Whether they do 10, 100, or 999, are they still paying $2,500? And or would they not be covered at all under this? You know what I'm saying? They're ordering in parts from I don't know where, some warehouse that's got hard drives, it's got disk drives, it's got monitors, it's got whatever they need to custom make them for their customer. How are they covered?
Representative, do you have a comment or suggestion on it?
Just a clarifying question and then possibly an answer. Are you talking about manufacturers, small manufacturers like that would actually sell to households?
If they wasn't?
Yeah.
Well, households are businesses.
Well, if it's Mr. Chair and Representative Cox, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe this bill is directed towards household video displays devices and not those that are underneath contracts with regard to businesses. As many of us within government and or businesses have recycling already required within the contracts, and so that was not part of this bill or this overall target. This is just for household.
Representative Cox.
That is correct, Mr. Chair, and Representative Osmond is correct on that. Representative Westrom, we talked about this a little bit too, and maybe I can work with you afterwards and find out if there's any other concerns that pop up on this about the people that are somehow making these things and selling them to individuals so that they might qualify under this. Most of the discussions I've had with people where individuals are making these kind of custom things, it is business sales. It's going to meet some specific need that the business has to configure a computer differently or whatever, so that wouldn't come under this. But if you've got something else, I'd be willing
The two examples, Mr. Chair, Representative Cox, that I'm giving you, I know they sell both the business and the home locations. And I'm just concerned one $2,500 might be all the profit they make in a year.
Mr. Chair, Representative Westrum, I don't know for sure, but I would really doubt that they're making video display terminals. They're probably packaging, buying them, and they may be making the racks, putting the motherboards and everything together in some form. But I don't know. I could be wrong, but I would find it hard to believe that they're making cathode ray tubes or video display devices in those small. That small quantity. They're probably rebuying.
Well, if you're willing to work that issue through with me, I just don't want to see these small entrepreneurs caught up in a waste stream recovery issue and a fee for a license to even do their business that kind of hits them.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to also add my same concern because I have the same type of businesses in my communities that I serve, and I would guess across the state there may be quite a number, and so we need to clarify to make sure that these small I know they don't manufacture the tubes that we're talking about.
If we're talking about page 1-5, that is video display devices, cathode ray tubes, and those kinds of devices, and I don't think some of the small manufacturing companies are making those devices. They might be putting together computer systems and things like that, or building a computer. But I don't believe they're actually manufacturing video display devices and cathode ray tubes. I'm sure they're buying those and making that maybe part of a computer system, but they're not actually manufacturing those. And that's what page 1-5 covers.
Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't, Mr. Chair, Representative Cox, be covered at all then? It would go back to who they're buying their video screens from.
That's
the beginning.
Representative Osmond?
Mr. Chair, I'm not quite sure. I would commit to working on this to make sure that we're not, we don't have a net that's catching them. That's not the intent here, so.
Yeah, I believe it's not what we intend either is to bring those in under this first five pages at least.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't want to bring them into the last 10 either.
Well, Representative Weston, I don't even like the last 10 pages. Okay. With that, we're on the A2 amendment. All in favor of the A2 amendment, signify by saying aye. Up. Representative Welty.
One point of clarification, please. For the testifier, I just want to know, will Best Buy and Sears be exempt under this amendment? Yes, sir.
Exempt from what? Please explain again, Mr. Anderson. Exempt from the bill.
Right. Mr. Chair, Representative, I think what this portion talks about is those manufacturers that are required to coordinate with the state to go to counties to pick up e-waste when they have an event or they have some product that needs to be collected. So that's the only portion we're talking about. They still will be required to register as manufacturers, submit a plan, submit a report, and pay a $5,000 manufacturing fee.
They still have to do all of that.
Right.
Ms. Falzon, do you have a question? I'm sorry.
That's this amendment, though. It's
okay. On the A2 amendment. All in favor of the A2 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Mm-hmm. Motion prevails. The A2 amendment is adopted. To the bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Westrum.
To the point we were just talking about, Representative Cox, would those small distributors that I was talking about be subject to a $25,000 or $5,000 fee, or would they not even be caught with that either?
Mr. Chair, Representative Westrum, I believe the small ones that you've described would be exposed to the 25, assuming they make 1,000 units or less, as you described, would be exposed to a $2,500 registration fee under the task force language, even if they. Even if they did buy the video display terminals or whatever, flat screens, whatever they're hooking up, because the task force language is broader. It includes these CPU towers and every keyboards and all that stuff. On the manufacturer's plan, as I said earlier, I don't believe they would because I'll work with you on this, but I don't think any of those people are making video display terminals or flat screens like this, I think they're probably purchasing, and they would come with the manufacturer's registration who already has registered that device.
Mr. Chair, Representative Cox, and I don't have an amendment ready now, but something that strikes me is once this moves, it's moving together. So if you take the pessimistic side of it, that some were talking about, that they don't think the manufacturers are going to do anything. Let's just assume that's reality for this example. Then all of a sudden the task force language kicks in, and then West Central Computers in Elbow Lake and computer specialists in Alexandria and others that represented Norris and every one of us probably can figure out, all of a sudden they're going to get a bill next in 4 years. It says $2,500, please. In order to keep operating your business. Now, they may sell less than 100 computer systems in a year as part of their service business that they do. What I would like to see then is, at a minimum, that we change some of that language so the small providers could have an optional charge where perhaps maybe it's a higher cost. Let's just say 1,000 units divided by 2,500 divided by 1,000 units is $250 a unit.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's if you hit exactly, or just there. What if they could pay $5 or $10 on a per unit charge, which would be quite a bit more than the $2,500 per unit if you averaged it on the units. But if they only do 50 units in a year, they may want to just do a permit for $5 or $10 per unit, which is in excess of what the others are paying per unit. But I'm thinking we need to work on something like that, because $2,500 is an awfully big fee to do these small computer businesses that I'm aware of in my district.
Representative Westrom, I agree with you, and I think Representative Osmond agrees with you too. I don't think there's going to be any problem if you want to work with Representative Norris and Representative Osmond to maybe exempt people that make these heavy small businesses that are producing maybe less than 1,000 computer systems a year, something like that. Mm-hmm. Come up with some kind of figures. I'm sure Representative Osmond would be more than happy to work with you, because that was never the intent to get at those folks.
Okay.
I'm sure that we can work that out before we...
Mr. Chair, and you, Representative Westrom, you have my assurances. I will, and I'll chat with Mr. Eliff about what we could do. I think, like you suggest, a permit-type plan would work fine on an individual basis. Those are real small producers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any further discussion? Representative Paul.
I have a question. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and maybe Representative Osmond can answer it. In the realm of these bills, they're household waste. My question is, and I've been contacted by some small businesses that I represent, very small businesses, you know, like 6-7 employees or less, who do buy their computers at Best Buy. Is there a lateral plan that's going to cover small businesses? Because as you talked about, the state and other large businesses, they have contracts with recyclers. But the little tiny businesses, you know, their opportunity at this point, it would appear to me, and I could be wrong, would be to just sort of say that this is my household use and take it to a recycler, because they have no other alternative. Maybe could you answer that, or just let me know what my small business people, who really provide the jobs in Minnesota, and there's so many small businesses, what they would do for recycling their product.
Representative Osmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And it's actually over-the-counter sales. We look for a little better definitions than just plain household, but it's over-the-counter, and so it would include all your small businesses. Once you get into a larger business, they're into actual contracts, and it's a whole different world, and they're kind of exempted. What we're looking at is to try and provide recycling for those over-the-counter type mm-hmm. sales.
Thank you.
Representative Hans.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for the Pollution Control Agency, if there are.
MPCA, can you come down again? Welcome to the committee. Please state your name and who you represent for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Art Dunn of the Pollution Control Agency.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Dunn, looking through the bill on pages 4 and 5, there's some reporting requirements and agency duties in the future. And then on 13, 14, and even on 15, there's
enforcement requirements, data review. Who's going to do this? Is this a reassignment of existing staff, or is there a, just how is this going to be done?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, we did prepare a fiscal note for the task force version of the bill, and our estimate is that it would take one FTE of effort in order to implement the provisions that are outlined in the second phase of the proposal, pages 6 through the end. The responsibilities that are detailed in the first part relative to monitoring, collecting data, and reporting are similar to those that would have been conducted if the task force provision had gone through, so we don't see any additional fiscal impact on the agency to implement the portion of the bill, but it would be covered within that registration fee that is currently being proposed.
Mr. Chair, so then pages 13, 14, and 15, that would require one additional FTE.
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion, Representative Austin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and as long as Mr. Dunn is up there, Mr. Dunn, we're looking at this manufacturer's provision, and the trigger mechanism we now have is 2.5 pounds per capita that would need to be collected for us to declare success. Is the way I figured the information we had before is we're currently in Hennepin County, where they have a good system up and running, is 1.68% or pounds per person right now with regard to the video display devices. So this would, to reach the goal, would actually require Hennepin County to come up by another half a pound per person. I consider that to be a significant goal and a significant trigger. What is your opinion from the agency?
Mr. Chair and Representative Osmond, I have not taken a look at those calculations, but that certainly, if your calculations are accurate, that would require...
Well, we won't want to count on that.
Yeah, well, and I haven't looked at it, so... but if they are, then that would definitely require additional efforts, not just in Hennepin County, but statewide, perhaps. Mr. Eckert would be able to answer that better than I, but okay. If those are accurate, that does mean a substantial increase in activities in order to meet the goal.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion? Please restate your name for the record and who you represent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Victoria Reinhart, Ramsey County Commissioner, representing the Association of Minnesota Counties and the Solid Waste Management Coordinating Board. And as I stated previously, I wanted to only speak to that amendment, that there were some issues regarding the proposal that I wanted to make sure and share with the committee. And I will just, in order to be as brief as possible, we'll run through the different issues. One was the definition or including the CPUs in the peripherals. The fact of the matter is when I as an individual take my computer in, and I have done that, I'm going to take the whole thing. I'm not just going to take the video display unit and expect that that's going to be taken care of. So if you have 70%, according to Hennepin County's, by weight coming in, that's VDDs, that means that 30% is the other items that households intend to get rid of and have recycled. And the fact of the matter is that burden then falls solely on local governments, because people are going to bring them in from their households. And I think that when we try to include what we actually thought households would do, it's going to be confusing enough to say only bring certain parts of your computer system in for recycling. Another item is dealing with the dates that are included in the proposal. The ban, as I said, goes into effect in 2 months, less than 2 months, with the digital TVs coming in 2009, early 2009. Registration isn't even required until February 1st of 07, with collections beginning July 1st of 07, one full year after the ban goes into place. And we feel that that needs to be amended, because it's too late. And we're trying to get a lot of things done in a relatively short order. There are another item is it shows that the first review is in 2009, but as far as we could tell, and in fact we didn't see it any sooner than anyone else did, there's nothing that says what happens then. And it talks about an annual review, but we're thinking that the annual review and determination could really happen beyond 2009 as well. The inflation of the 2.25 that's now included here, we feel that it should have an inflation factor to address growth and maturing programs, because hopefully as programs mature, they get more efficient and they're able to handle more. Plus the fact that, again, in February of 2009, when digital TVs come in, that's going to have a huge impact on the amount of waste that's going to end up coming into the system. And then there were two spots regarding households on page 5, item line 5.22. It refers to the total weight of video display devices collected. And we feel that what was meant here, and it's in other parts of the bill, is devices collected from households. And it's not listed there, and we just thought that was probably an oversight, but one that obviously we feel is important here. And then finally, the other area where households would come into play, or what is collected, if you on page 4, line 4.12, talks about the collection and the reporting by political subdivisions, retailers, charities, and recyclers that are also engaged in recycling. And if, in fact, that is, if the then going to going back to 5.23, if that includes, and I believe that it does, everything that's reported by the political subdivisions in the previous section, it would basically mean that what's being done right now would suffice. And in other words, it's not what the manufacturers are expected to do. It's what's already being done if you take those two pieces together, which I believe they're supposed to be taken in as a whole rather than individually. So I would think that under section 5.23 that you would want to refer to this goal as the manufacturer's goal. And I know I ran through a number of different things, but I also know that you're tight on time, and so I try to rush through them as quickly as I could, but I certainly answer any questions.
Very good. Representative Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Reinhart, the bill as it is in front of us, does AMC recommend supporting the bill or opposing the bill?
The position of AMC was the task force language with an 18 million pound requirement as far as the tonnage. We did discuss it at length and determined that based on the PCA numbers that we had, that the 18 million pounds was the appropriate number. AMC itself has not seen this language, as none of us had, so they don't have a position on this language, but we're very strongly in support of the task force language and the 18 million pounds, feeling that we really need to move forward and make progress.
Anything further?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe someone here can tell me, because I just don't get it. What about the towers and the peripherals? What will happen with that if we're only going to recycle the video display devices?
Well, Representative Scull, the original bill was only about cathode ray tubes and video display devices. That's what the original bill was, like 3 years ago. Is that right, Representative Cox?
That's
what the bill was about. It wasn't about all the other electronic devices. Now, the task force chose to include that in their bill, but the original bill was never about all the other electronic devices. It was solely about TVs and computer monitors, basically. That's what that was about. Because there was a ban to throw those in the landfills that was coming up, and that ban would have went into effect last July. But last year, we postponed that until this coming July. That's what it was all about.
And then, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I understand how that worked. But what am I going to tell my people and my small businesses?
Well, Representative, there's already recycling programs for a lot of other products out there. I mean, not just other electronic devices, which there are other programs out there for other electronic devices, but there's also for paint and other hazardous materials. There's all kinds of other possibilities out there for recycling right now.
So they can take them to their local recycling center with their paint. They can take their tower.
Yeah.
if the particular colony or facility provides that, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the manufacturer's responsibility here, the first five pages, uses our already the infrastructure we already have in place. We wanted to focus on that. Okay, anything further? With that, Representative Cox moves Senate File 1298 be recommended to pass as amended and be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. All in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. The House Senate File 1298 is passed and re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Members, this will probably be the last time that we meet this session, and I want to thank everybody for all the good work that we've done, and especially I would like to have a round of applause for Arlen and Arlene, our pages. They've done such a great job this year. Thank you very, very much. We really appreciate it. Tremendous job. With that, members, meeting adjourned.
Sir.